how come your guys eat without washing their hands? And so Jesus told them, if you pick it up in the sixth verse, he said to them, well did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites. As it's written, this people honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the tradition of men. And many such things you do. And then Jesus went back through and rehearsed the whole idea of the washing and the cups and the pots and the stuff. And Jesus continued on into what is called Korban. The law says you're supposed to take care of your mother and father when they're older. But the Pharisees, the scribes, the Sadducees had come up with the idea that if you say it's a gift to God, then you don't have to do that. So Jesus went through that whole thing and said, repeating himself, thus making the word of God of no effect by your tradition that you have handed down. And then he said the same words again, and many such things you do. In other words, this wasn't comprehensive. They had a lot of this stuff going on. And Jesus was trying to point out that just because you're teaching it, and just because you're telling people they have to keep it, you're screwing up because you're making the word of God, quote, of no effect. The word there, kara'o, it means to lose its effectiveness. See, the word of God is quick and powerful, as Hebrews says, right? Sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, discerning the thoughts, the intents of the heart, down into the bones, the joints and marrow. This stuff, the word of God is powerful. Jesus said, my words are spirit, my words are life. And what he was telling them was, you're causing that to be ineffective. Well, how is that possible? I was asking what's the simplest way to explain that? And I got one word. It's called fodder. Y'all know what fodder is? Okay? Fodder's just filler. In other words, you got something that's worthwhile, nutrients, we'll say, and you put in a whole bunch of, like, let's say we're feeding the cows, right? You put in a whole bunch of fodder, just empty, pretty much nothing, but it fills them up, right? Okay, that's fodder. That's the picture that we've got here. What makes the word of God to no effect? When you start putting so much other stuff in there that the people listening or the people observing or the people following after don't know the difference between what the traditions of men are and what the word of God is, you nullify, you make void, you cause to be ineffective the word of God because they don't know which one's what. And little by little, you begin to get back to what Paul wrote to Timothy. They have a form of godliness, but they neglect or disregard the power. You no longer see the power in it because of all the other stuff that's there that you can simply accomplish by the flesh. You don't have to have God's help to do it. You just do it. You don't have to enter into the Spirit to experience it. You just do it your own self. And so people come up with stuff. I'm listening. I don't want to open a can of worms here. I think most of the people in the room would probably be familiar with this. Well, I'll just do a little bit, okay? There are ministries that I know of personally, okay? Many years ago, I actually saw some of this stuff, okay? that are, the ministries are predominantly, quote, founded. What they're known for is demonstration to the Spirit. Energma dynamis would be the way we would say that. That would be energized power. That's how the Greek says miracles, okay? And so they would become known for that, but then they would start, you know, scheduling so many meetings, meeting after meeting after meeting. And after a while, sometimes stuff didn't happen like people expected or like they were known for, okay? So what they would do, one in particular, understand what I'm saying. Listen, okay? They were known for these things. This stuff was real. It happened. Okay? It happened. But through whatever reason, you scheduled so many meetings, you're trying to build this ministry. Well, all these things start getting in the way. All of the things of the flesh start piling up, and pretty soon you start having times that nothing really happens. And I'm thinking of one in particular. I know that stuff happened because I was there to experience myself on a couple of occasions, okay? But as time went on, things piled up. You start depending on your flesh because, after all, you can't count on God to show up, right? So they start doing things, earpieces with people telling them things, pieces of paper, selecting people in the audience, and they would call that, in their justification of it, they called it priming the pump. Because if you could, if people start getting excited about things, then maybe these, quote, energma, these miracles will begin to take place anyway. The gifts of the Spirit will begin to flow. Okay? That happens. Okay? Sometimes you have pure charlatans. You have people faking all the way through, and you can see that. The Spirit of God will show you that in a minute. But I'm not talking about that. I'm staying with this context. I'm talking about people who actually experience these things but wind up depending on the flesh, and so the stuff falls away. You have a form of godliness, but you're denying the power thereof, okay? The word of God loses its effectiveness. Let's look at another place with Jesus. Over in John, 5th chapter, and again, I know you're all familiar with it. Jesus comes to Jerusalem. There's a pool there by the sheep's gate called, and I always learned it, Bethesda. The other day, just for the fun, I went and looked out the pronunciation. It's Bethesda is the way you actually would say it in the Aramaic. Don't matter, we're not there, right? Okay? So he went to this pool, and